We're going to do an Ask It Basket. I don't know if you know how that works, but if you have any questions or anything that you would like us to talk about, just write it on here and put it in the basket. So these are big, giant pieces of paper. You could cut it in half or whatever. They're huge. But anyway, my name is Cindy, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I was asked on Friday if I would speak at this meeting, and I think it's one of the most important topics for some of us. For the people who've walked this path, it is so important for us to realize that we're not alone, that we're not some kind of freak show, that we're not some kind of wart on the face of society because we have this. You know, an alcoholic might be able to hide their addiction, but we wear ours, and it's really obvious to everybody. And so I have some pictures, and you'll notice that the small pictures of these are smaller than I am now. And I've been struggling for the last probably year and a half, 2 years. But I still continue to count myself abstinent because the definition of my abstinent is broad. And I had somebody say this in a meeting, that it's broad enough that you can fall down and get back up and still be on the path. That my definition of abstinence is that sometimes if I fall down, I don't fall down into the ditch and just run in the ditch and just stay there. I just realize, oh my gosh, you screwed up. Let's get back up on the horse. Let's just keep doing it. And so, anyway, I'm going to pass these around. And I was going to... Ron made me a book. My husband, I've been in program for 27 years. And thankfully, I met Ron when I'd been in program about 4 years, I think. And then we got married we've been married 20 years. So I have a marriage that is recovery for me. I came into program when I was 30 years old, and I had never been kissed. Well, I'd been kissed twice. Once was in Paris by some Parisian or whatever, parasite who on looking the Eiffel Tower decided that I needed to be French kissed and I was. And so anyway, and the other time was when I was in a play in high school and I had a crush on a kid that I think he's probably gay and I'm sure he's probably gay. But anyway, and he kissed me once. But apart from that, I'd never been on a date. I thought that I was unlovable. I believed that I was unlovable. And I was going to bring this book that Ron gave me that was so much all the pictures of what he loves about me and all these things, and I have the wrong book with me. This book is my social book, and I cannot pass it around because there are outside issues in this book. But if you want to look at it, you're welcome to look at it, but I'm not going to pass it around. But anyway, it's kind of amazing that I have this book. This is a thing from Facebook, whatever, but it's amazing. I didn't have a single friend in grade school, not one friend. I have 700 and something friends on Facebook, whatever. It's amazing to me. I no longer live the life I lived for all those years. And I don't have to believe the lies that I believed all those years. And I do this meeting, this phone meeting, and if anybody wants the information, I'm going to leave it up here. The phone meeting number, and the number is 1-712-432-5200. That's the main phone meeting for OA phone meetings. I do one every Friday night at 11 p.m. our time. So it's 11 p.m. and we sing, we dance. Well, we don't dance, but we have a really. Somebody asked me, could you make the Friday meeting into a party so that every weekend we could start off our weekend with a party? And I said, I'll give it my best shot, and I've been giving it my best shot for about 3 years, and it's actually saved my butt, because every Friday night I have to say, okay, what is the topic going to be this week, and how can I, even if I'm struggling, how can I relate something to program and do this thing? But anyway, we sing a lot, and I'm going to put that right there. That's the phone number for the. Oh, I didn't finish it. I didn't finish. Thank you. And you have to put a code in, and it's 428-5115#. So you call that first number, and they'll say, and what is the code or whatever they say, and then you say 428-5115#. And so every Friday night at 11 o'clock, we do this meeting, and I always write songs or related to the topic, or sometimes I find songs or whatever. But I think this song particularly relates to this topic, and I think it tells a lot about what was wrong with me and why I put on all that weight. It goes, said my mother to this little lamb, do you hear what I say? You're never good enough, little lamb. Do you hear what I say? The shame, the blame, you're a black spot on our name. You're fat and you'll always be the same. You're fat and you're the only one to blame. Do, do, do. Said the little lamb to her sponsor, did you hear what I heard when you were a kid, dear sponsor? Did you hear what I heard? I did, she said. I wish that I was dead, but I found recovery instead. Now my soul is really being fed. Do, do, do. Said the little lamb to her sponsee. Do you know what I know? Your higher power loves you, dear sponsee. Do you know what I know? You're a beautiful child whose heart is made of gold. Don't believe the lies that you were told. Let HP now in his arms enfold. Do, do, do. Said her HP to this little. Sorry. Said her HP to this little lamb. Listen to what I say. Oh, my precious child, my little lamb, listen to what I say. I love you, child. You always make me smile. You can live in recovery. You can be happy, joyous, and free.
Thank you.
So this topic is very near and dear to my heart. I was always fat. I'm the fifth of six children, and everybody's fat, you know, and my extended family's fat, and I think a couple of generations ago, alcoholism and compulsive gambling was an issue, and and they got religion, and they turned to be Southern Baptist, and Southern Baptists don't do alcohol, we do food. And I don't know why gluttony is not a sin, and drinking something that, you know, that somebody turned water into wine and that's a sin? I have no idea. But what I know is that this for me is, it's death. It's death. And so, anyway, I grew up very isolated. I didn't have any friends. And I was a very sad child. And I had a brother who was 3 years older than me who, his goal in life was to see how many times a day he could make me cry. And I don't know if that was his goal in life, but that's what he did. If he knew that, looking at me like, if he knew that that would make me cry, that's what he did. And so when we'd have big get-togethers, which we did at least once a month for all the birthdays and every major holiday, our whole family got together, and there were about 30 or 40 people, and I was on the outside of the door, wishing that, and whatever game they were playing, if you were 8, you could play it, and if you were 9, if you were 7, you could not play it, and I was 7. Every game, whatever it was. And so I would be on the outside of the door, and eventually somebody would be tired of hearing me cry, and they'd say, "You get in that bedroom and you stay there until you can stop crying." And I would be in that bedroom, and I would stuff the feelings, and then when I came out of the bedroom, my drug of choice was everywhere. It always was everywhere. And I would numb and numb and numb. And I have to say, it's a gift from my higher power that this baby is here. And I'm going to use this baby as an example of, you probably noticed that this baby crawled up to the middle and where the mom didn't want it to be. And that mom could have said, I told you to get back over here and sit on my lap and smack, smack, smack. But she didn't do that. She did not do that. She just very gently went over when the baby was where she didn't want her to be. Very gently picked him up, and put him back where he needed to be. Well, for years and years and years in program, every time I strayed, I beat myself up. I just said, "What are you doing?" Smack, 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 smack. And every time I did the least, you know, one extra green bean, and I would say, "Well, you're in relapse now, and there's no hope." And now it's like my higher power just comes over and says, Cindy, the path is over here. The path is not over there. Come over here." And I told this story, I told it about 23 years ago or something, and about the dancing bear, and I'm not going to tell it today, but about how that there was a bear in the woods, and she didn't think she had had a part of the circus being recovery, and that she was too fat and too ugly and too scared, and she would never be a part of the circus. But she loved to dance, and so she became, she was dancing in the woods, and the ringmaster said, "Come and be a part of my circus. You, what I'm looking for, I need you as part of my circus." And she, you know, He invited her in to the circus to be a part of the circus. And so that's the dancing bear story. But it had a continuation a couple weeks ago. And I saw this thing, and not that I like live on Facebook, but I do. But anyway, I was on Facebook, and I saw this little video. And the video was of something crossing the road. And it was a black thing, a big black thing, and it looked like it could have been a big dog or something. It's like, what is that? And so you watch it for a while, and it was a bear. There was a bear crossing the road in front of a car, and the people pull off and they try to, it had a bucket over its head, and it couldn't get out of the bucket. So for me, that was a really representative of what I do with food sometimes, is I put my head back in the bucket, and I can't get the bucket off my head. So it's kind of this involved video where they had to hold the bear. They go and chase the bear, and finally the bear goes back out in traffic. There's another car that stops. Now four of them are trying to get this bear to be able to be free, and so they hold the bear down. Somebody lays on top of the bear, which is sometimes my higher power, lays on top of me and says, "Cindy, no, calm down. No, you have to stay still long enough for me to take care of this issue. You have to let this happen. And you have to let me help you. You have to let the other people in the fellowship help you. Because you can't get out of this bucket by yourself." And so they went to their truck, and they just had a few tools. They didn't have all the tools they needed. They had a hacksaw, like one of those hacksaws. And so the one guy's holding down the bear, and somebody else is holding the head of the bear, and somebody else is sawing. And they finally get this bear out. Well, that was a real big metaphor for me, is that I need to ask for help when I'm struggling. I need to figure out what tools are available to me. And we give you tools, you know, we say what the tools are. So when I'm trying to get out of struggling, what are the tools that I use? Well, I think back, what was happening when I was really kicking it? When I was really kicking butt with my program, what was I doing? Well, I was going to 8 to 10 face-to-face meetings a week, and I was reading for today every day, or nearly every day. I was sending my food on, writing my food down and sending it to a sponsor. I was working the steps. I was, but the most important one for me is writing. When I'm really kicking it, I get up in the morning and I write 3 pages of stream of consciousness. Whatever it is that is on my mind, if it's, I hate doing this, this is worthless, I don't think it's going to be any good, I think I just heard a bird outside, I wish the faucet would stop dripping. Whatever it is that's on your mind, just keep writing for 3 pages. That has been life-changing for me. And that is all about connection to my higher power. If I let myself just let what's going through my head flow, my higher power begins to speak through my writing. And you know, he never does say, "Get over there where I told you to sit." He does not ever do that. He always says, "Come here, my precious girl." And I noticed that the baby was making a little bit more noise than was wishful for the mom. And so she actually picked the baby up and held him for a while. And sometimes we just need to have our higher power pick us up and hold us for a while. I just need to be held for a while. There are reasons that this weight came on. I had unmet needs when I was a child. I had things about me that were precious and they were beautiful, and nobody noticed them. Nobody told me that I was smart or that I was okay or that they loved me. And I figured out there were 4 unmet needs, and there's probably more, but for me there were 4 major unmet needs when I was a kid. And I needed to talk and have somebody listen. I needed to feel my feelings and not be punished. I needed to belong. I needed to be a part of, not apart from. I needed to feel like I was part of this thing, that I belonged here. And I needed to have healthy physical affection given to me. I needed a hug. And I didn't get those things. I got the cookie. I didn't want the cookie. I wanted my mom to tell me I look beautiful. It's not what I got. I got the cookie. So now, when I want the cookie, I have to ask myself, what's not being met? What is it that I need that I'm not getting? It's not the cookie. I don't need the cookie. I need to be able to feel my feelings. I need to be able to talk. And the miracle is, if I go to a meeting, I can get all four of those needs met. I can talk and have people listen. I can feel my feelings. I just cried in the middle of this song. There was not a person in here said, "Stop crying. You don't need to be crying like that." Not one of you said that. I could feel my feelings, and not one of you was going to humiliate me or in any way give me problems about it. So and I'm a part of. I'm not on the outside of this door. I'm on the inside of this door. This is my room. This is my room. And there are times that I want to take my toys and go home. And there are times that I have taken my toys and gone home. And I don't play for years sometimes. In 27 years, there have been years that I didn't come back to meetings or whatever. That's not my home out there. This is my home. Welcome home. Welcome home. You have found a home where we get it. We get it that I'm not afraid of the roller coaster because it might be too exhilarating. I'm afraid of the roller coaster because I might get to the end of the line and I might not be able to fit the thing over my stomach. And I might have to be embarrassed in front of my friends. And I might not be able to ride the roller coaster. They might have to give me an extension seat thing in the airplane. I don't want to be the person that comes into the plane and has, "Please God, let that person not be sitting next to me." That's who I've always been. And yeah, I'm not at the lowest weight that I've ever been. But if I don't lose one more pound from where I'm at, I'm grateful for this body. I'm down still 130 pounds. And I am grateful that I'm healing from the inside out. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about the promises. And the promises, the first time I heard them, it seemed like they were not available for me. They seemed like a pipe dream. And I want to explain some things about the promises and how they relate specifically to those of us who deal with a long process, who deal with a massive amount of weight to lose. So, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to try to remember them, which I probably will. So, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. This is a long journey. For those of us who have 200 pounds of extra weight on us, this is a long path. I can't look way down there and say, when I get thin, this is the way it's going to be. My life has to change now. And when I first did the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. For at least a year and a half, that was Cindy. I had to accept Cindy the way she was in the body that was 350 pounds. I had to live in this body. And so And it does become beautiful, you know. And so she gave me the 1 minute symbol, so I'm going to try to. I can't do all the promises, but there are a couple that I want to do. One is, we will know a new freedom and a new happiness. The old freedom was about, I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want it. That was the old freedom. And that old happiness was, and it tastes great, and I'm happy because I'm full, and I'm satisfied, and I have this other bag or whatever. That was the old freedom and the old happiness. The new freedom is a freedom from my addiction, a freedom from the shame that makes me think that I am not worth anything. The freedom from that feeling that Cindy's not lovable. You know, and the new happiness is, it's not a put-on thing that happens every once in a while. I would call it joy. I would call it joy. And I'm just going to share one more quick story that my... The thing about will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I have learned that I can rewrite my history. I can look at the past and the story, and I've told this before at places, but when I was in high school, of course I hated PE, and so I went back to my 35-year reunion from high school and I said, okay. Hi, no matter what the woman in the room was, my thing was going to be, okay, I'm going to tell them I think I had PE with you, because I don't want, and I probably did, I was from a small town. Okay, so I think I had PE with you. Every single time I said that, somebody said, yes, you did, I'm so glad to see you. Yes, you did. And I'm like, this is bizarre. But these women, what I figured out is that because I was the most valuable person in every PE class I ever had, because if I was in the class, I would be the fattest, I would be the slowest. No one else had to bear the shame of what it was to be on the bottom. In reality, I know that I tried the best I could. I don't have to carry 1 minute of shame about what my high school PE classes look like. And what I know from those women that I saw at that reunion is that they don't think that about me either. They treasured me in their class. I don't have to carry shame. And if I can get over carrying shame, then that's the battle. That's the battle. If I can live in my own body and feel like I am me, it's good enough. So that's what I have. Well, that's part of what I have, but that's all I have time for. So anyway, so I don't know if we want to open it up for sharing for a little bit, and then if that slows down, then we'll do the Ask It Basket. So we're open for sharing.
So I'll time myself first, and then I'll time the rest of you. Hi, I'm Cindy, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Cindy.
And I want to thank you, three speakers. They each had amazing stories, and they've each had a different path. And that's what I want to share about. I've been in OA for 27 years, and I have 17 years of abstinence, and I maintain a 60-pound weight loss. And after all the years I've been in OA, I've learned something that I value more than the weight loss, more than the who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong, or which method is right or which method is wrong, or you got to read this or you can't read that, or none of that matters beyond what we as people who honor our traditions honor, what's appropriate in a meeting, what's appropriate outside of a meeting. How you do it doesn't matter. How long it takes you doesn't matter. This program is here because it's open to all of us. And we come and we listen for the message that's there for me. And when I came in, I needed to be loved more than I needed to lose weight. And I got the sponsor who was able to do that. If I'd had a sponsor who told me, okay, kid, get that, you know, food plan together, and or you're out of here because I'm not going to sponsor you because you're not doing it my way, I'd have not been here for 26 years. God bless me with a sponsor that said, we'll start where you're at, figure out what you want to do, let me know. So I ended up with 3 meals a day, nothing in between. The weight loss came. The miracle happened. And then that lasted for a good long time. And then I went into relapse because I forgot I belonged here. I started taking on the challenges of the world that were bigger than I'd ever anticipated I would actually be required to do. And then I got scared, and then I went back to my old comfort food. But that time, there was a different kind of sponsor I needed. And they were a little more expecting, you know, they set a little higher expectation on the food aspect of it. And so I had to look at what have I been doing, set a food plan up, and then I had to really work the steps even harder. And the big purpose of the work in those steps had to do for me with finding that right higher power. Because I don't want to have a higher power. I don't trust a lot of things. And to trust something that's just out there nebulous, you know, I've had experiences with that father figure and that husband figure and that, you know, I've had those experiences. Where am I going to get trust for that kind of a major... Oh, crap, I forgot to start. Anyway, so if you guys have time, it'd be great, because I'm sure I've already talked too long. Anyway, but being loved in these rooms and being cared for in these rooms built trust in me and other humans. And eventually then when I was in the relapse and then I had to turn and figure out a higher power that worked for me, I was able to find one that works for me. And I have to tell you, I found a higher power who didn't set the bar so high, Cindy would never make it. You know, when I was a kid in school, I heard those commandments, and man, I could break all of them, and I was going to die and go straight down, you know, and that was about it. So I had to look around for a higher power that worked for Cindy. And he loves me because I'm human, because I make mistakes, because I fall off, because I'm willing to get back up and try again. And so one of my prayers these days doesn't have anything to do with my food. My food's taken care of. My will is taken care of. I get up every morning and I turn myself over for whatever the hell the ride's going to be today. But here's a little story about a higher power. Very quickly, God had a choice. He could live up in heaven with all those perfect beings that they call angels and never have a problem in his life. Or he could, but he made us instead because he finds us very amusing. Because we try and we try and we struggle and we try. And he loves that about us because we're imperfect and we make mistakes. So my prayer these days is, may I be amusing and may I be amused. You know? I watch us. We can turn to our higher power and let go and get the miracles. Or we can continue to struggle. But even when I'm in absolutely fit spiritual condition, I still make mistakes. And God still loves me. With that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you.
Hi,
I am Carol. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you to our speakers today. I'm sorry that I arrived late and kind of groggy and missed part of Adam's share. Did I say I'm a compulsive overeater? I'm more than that. But if I forget that I am that, I get in a lot of trouble. And that's something that's happened sometimes. Several years ago at our convention, I was on the panel at the 100 Pounders program. I would no longer qualify for that, although I'm very close. But it isn't a matter of the numbers. It's a matter of something one of our speakers alluded to, at least in part, thinking I had it, thinking I was arrogant, not getting what I now have found so beautifully in this program, is that in steps 4 and 5, I found my humanity. Because I lost over 100 pounds without finding my humanity. It's pretty easy to do, apparently. I've done it more than once. Not in this program. I've done it once in this program. I've done it a bunch of times out of the program. I can lose a lot of weight and not find my humanity. And I can feel as unlovable. Some people refer to feeling unlovable or unworthy. I can weigh 115 pounds and hate myself. Just hate myself. And abuse myself in other ways. Get ego and arrogance all involved in that. And so I have come to believe that for me, this program isn't about weight, although healthy body weight is part of our abstinence definition, and I was grateful when the World Service changed that definition to include that. But for me, once I found my humanity, then I could deal with the character defects. Because the last thing I wanted is for anyone to point out to me more character defects, because I already hated myself, and I had a lot of good reasons for it. And so the idea of unearthing more was something that just wasn't going to happen. And so finding humanity, finding my defects after finding my humanity, and this is why it worked for me, is then I could love and accept myself even with those defects. Because before, those defects were deal breakers. And any time I launched on a plan of eating that was designed to lose weight, but I came at that program or that plan from a position of self-loathing and hatred, it was a diet. And it was doomed to fail. And now I find that I can care about myself and respect myself and make choices that I believe are the will of my higher power that are in my best interest, not because I'm a bad person or not because I've done it wrong or failed and failed and failed and failed and failed, but because I deserve it and I can become able to fulfill that. So I'm really grateful to be here at our convention this weekend. It's been real special. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Carol.
I'm going to beat that negative thought. I thought I have nothing to share. I'm a person that has to lose that 100 pounds, and I feel it coming. I've been in and out of the doors, reviving. Get a little recovery and out on my own. And like you say, diets doesn't work. But I thank God that OA is still here and that the doors is open and I'm still welcome just as I am. I've heard God takes me just as I am. And I just thank you all for what you shared. And I just count it a joy to be here in the land of the living, on the side, ability to move. And I don't have to wait till I'm flat on my face to try to get it together. You keep giving me hope when I feel hopeless. And I'm a person who sings, so I have to sing a song. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh. I'm Morgan. I'm a compulsive overeater.
I'm Morgan.
This is Mickey, chronic crosstalker. And I just want to say, as far as my higher power and the spiritual journey that this program and other 12-step programs has brought me to, is every day is a spiritual experience, and every day God shows me where my disease is affecting my life. Every day he also shows me how willing I am to work, to put in the work that needs to be done in order to have the success that this program calls for. Because for me, it was, I'm either stuffing my feelings or starving my feelings and emotions, and and I can find any rationalization to eat or not eat or whatever, because I've been on both sides of it. But I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm a new baby in this program, just like Mickey, and it's just great to come and hear all of you, and I thank you very much for keeping me sober, because my higher power, I know now, is in the rooms of OA and 12-step programs, because this program does work, and that's been my experience so far. And you talked about failures a little bit, and that's something for me, is that the failure, it doesn't feel good, but man, does God give me so much, learning and experience from those failures, to see what doesn't work, and man, I have more of a spiritual experience in a failure than I do a success. And so I'm so grateful for that, and I'm grateful for all of you, and thank you for being here. Thanks. All right.
My name's Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater, and that's
Mary.
It. This morning, this weekend has been transforming, and I probably qualify for multi-100-pounder meetings. Currently, ballpark figure is about 200 weight loss, but about 1,000 over the last 20 years. If I did it when I was in eighth grade, oh boy, it would have saved a lot of pain and heartache and bullshit. Excuse me. But I hit a milestone birthday about it's April? Almost 5 months ago. Yeah, multiples of five are wonderful. Intend to. So in the first decade of the 50s, it's been Murphy Law quarter, and my higher power has been working extremely overtime. And between lady stuff and thyroid stuff and having too much energy, I've been bouncing off the walls, but the two things that I can say for sure is I'll have a sweet 16 party in July, most likely a dance, and I'm abstinent today. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rita, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. I wasn't going to share because I don't know why I get weird about it, but it started to come to my mind that through this program and other 12-step programs, I've learned that I get into, what I call trouble, spiritual trouble, when I'm focusing on what other people are doing. And I am learning, like every morning, I've got to get up, I read my books, I say my prayers, I set out on my plan just for today. And when I start to worry about what other people are doing, that's when I start to think about food or eat extra food, doing it that way. That's just like my go-to thing. You know, it's always been food. Growing up, it was always food for happy, sad, crazy, you know, whatever. It was always food. So it just became a habit. And I am a very compulsive person. And so food has become one of my drugs of choice. So I was introduced to OA many, many years ago. And I came and I was, you know, successful, whatever, working the steps, sponsor, losing weight. And then I got married and I had kids and I became more concerned with what my husband and kids were doing than what I was doing for me. And I'm learning now that that's what I've done to myself and or what I had done. And my go-to is always to focus on what somebody else is doing. When I was growing up, it was what were my parents doing to me that wasn't right, you know. Then through my adulthood, what were other people doing to me? Usually boyfriends, because I had a lot of real crazy boyfriends, because I was crazy, and that's what I attracted. And, you know, so it was always me focusing on them. Now I know my job is to connect to my higher power. That is my job. My higher power has always been there, always will be, and it's my job to connect. And I can do that through the steps, through talking to other people, through sending my food to my food sponsor. You know, I want to try to control the food and I can't. So if I say what I'm really eating to somebody else, it takes away that feeling of I can control it. And there's a lot of shame around the food always. I think my top, well, I know my top weight was around 280 pounds. And when I say that, I just think, wow, that's a lot of weight. But, you know, now I think I weigh about 176 pounds. So, and I, you know, kind of 2 or 3 pounds have been kind of waning on that. I know my healthy body weight is about 20 pounds less, but I haven't been able to go there. So anyway, I'm really glad I'm here. I'm so sorry I missed you guys speak. I was coming from Illinois and just didn't get up in time, I guess. So, thank you.
Hi guys, I'm Susan. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi Susan.
My qualification for this 100 pounder meeting is that I've lost well over 150, 200, 300 pounds of bullshit. And that is serious. I seriously say that. You know, I mean, weight loss is one thing, and I have experienced that. But the amount of crap that I told myself has been relieved from me. I was a person that I truly believed wherever I sat or wherever I walked, I was leaving a trail of grease. I was leaving like a slime, what is it, a slug. You know, they leave that crap behind them. That's how low I felt. That's what I believed about myself. I literally was, you could tell where I'd been from where I'd sat because that was a grease spot. It was me. That was me. That's what I believed. I really believed it. So I just had to say that my qualification for being in this 100-pounder meeting is nothing but a weight loss of or a loss of bullshit. And I've gotten it through Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm Joanne, compulsive eater and a food addict.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, and I'm just so grateful for this convention. And thank you for, I missed your talks too, but I'm going to get the rest of them on a CD. But I've been in program about 30 years, And when I came in, it was at 329. And at that point, there was a 100-pounders meeting, and that was very helpful to me because it really was important for me to know that there were other people that was really struggling about being in, you know, camp fitting in a booth, the airplane issue, and, you know, not being able to go through a turnstile unless you pull all your fat up and then around and twist, and you can still get through that turnstile. Anyway, that first time I went through a turnstile without the weight, I looked back, I thought, what just happened? And it's like, oh, I made it through. Anyway, I was trying to decide about coming, and one of our members said, oh, it's only down the road. And so I thought, yeah, maybe I won't stay here. Maybe I'll just stay at home and come. And then when I prayed about it, my higher power said, proclaim a miracle. Go and proclaim a miracle. You know, I have my miracle that my higher power could give me. And I've been so blessed to have so many friends after this whole time. And the unconditional love in these meetings are just unbelievable, actually. So, and I've seen so many other miracles. I've seen people come and they're so wounded and so hurt. And I don't mean to say that, but it's damaged. They're just damaged from whatever the past has been. And, you know, they've, well, we all know about that eating so that, you know, they're all out there and they can't harm me and all of that. But I'm just really grateful to my higher power and all of you. Thanks.
My name is John. And most of you don't recognize me. I just joined yesterday.
Hi, John.
But my life after high school has been like the ocean. It's had waves. Because I graduated high school. Everything was normal. You know, I looked normal. But then I went to college. And I think I was 287 pounds just because of football and rugby. And, well, can't forget frat parties. But once I got out of the college, I had to lose all that weight because I couldn't have gotten in the military, you know, with that much weight. And when I was in the military, I became also a borderline alcoholic, so I had to get rid of that problem too. And since then, I've learned to write also about my problems. And there's one poem that I wrote. I brought my broken dreams to God because He is my friend. Like a child brings her broken toys with tears for us to mend. Now instead of me then leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around, tried to help in ways I call my own. At last I grabbed him back and said, "How could you be so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never did let go." Now, I have a special person to thank for being here today, and I want to be here quite often now. So I'd like to thank Mary back there. She's been so close to me and so helpful, and hey, that's why I'm here, and I hope to see a lot of you quite a bit more often. Thank you.
We have about, well, probably not very much, just a few minutes, a couple minutes, whatever. So we're just going to pick out one or two questions, and we'll just do an ask and basket. Each one of us will do one. How about that? Yeah, just pull them out, and then we'll answer maybe, and then we'll call it a day. Okay, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, my question I received is, how do you keep your program fresh? Well, that's a cool question.
Can you put the mic by?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. We can just hand it.
You mean hold the microphone with my hands? Oh, I hate doing that.
Easy.
How do you keep your program fresh? That's a really cool question. Every day, I have experience with this, practicing my recovery one day at a time. So I have this new understanding about time, a new perception of time. I try to identify when I'm living in the future, because that's a deadly place for me to go. I'm really good at it. I'm also really good at living in the past. It's a deadly place to go. So the idea of freshness, it is all about today. And in our rooms here, it's all about what's the next meal. And I just kind of lean into it. You know, I try to stay present, and it's all fresh. It's all a opportunity for spiritual growth. I think that was said earlier. Thanks.
And my question says, what is the best thing to do when I lose the will to live? And, the first thing I need to do is just keep breathing. That's the first thing, is that just keep breathing. And some people choose not to keep breathing. I'm going to choose to keep breathing. And then I'm going to think of who else might want me to live and contact that person. Who I know in my circle of people that it might matter to them if I live or die. And connect with them in a way that's personal. And then I think that probably one of my biggest prayers is help open my eyes to see as you see. Open my eyes to see myself in the way you do. And I'm going this week to see my great niece, Ella, and she's 5, and I love her so much. And in my writing, it came out, the way you feel about Ella is the way I feel about you. And that's the way my higher power loves me, with that kind of love that just wants to, there's nothing I could do that would make him stop loving me, or her stop loving me. And so, anyway, that's my answer.
My name is Christine. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Christine.
My question is, tell me about your journey of daily reprieve. So, for me, and once again, I'm going to say this is only my personal experience, that I've worked the steps and I continue to live in 10, 11, and 12 so I can continue to grow spiritually. And 84 pages, 84 through 103 is 10, 11, and 12, and it tells me exactly what to do upon awakening. It tells me what to do before bedtime. It tells me what to do during the day. You know, when I first wake up, I ask for God's guidance. I thank God for waking me up. And there are certain set prayers that I say, but I also talk to God like a friend and ask Him to direct my thoughts and my actions and my behavior. I send my food. I do send my food to my sponsor. And the reason why I do that is because once I do that, then it's over. You know, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat. I'm free from that. I'm free from thinking about food and food consuming every thought that I have, you know. So I do that, and I have that discipline around food. And then, you know, during the day when I find myself agitated or doubtful, or I can be critical of others too, and when I find myself doing that, I realize, you know what, I've deviated from 10, 11, and 12 somewhere. And it's usually because I need a 10th step, because my defects are running the show instead of God. And so I have to do a 10th step all throughout the day. And then I reconnect with God in step 11. And then I'm helpful to someone. And that may be someone in the program or outside the program. And then I continue that all day long. And I have to 10th step a lot, because a lot of times selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear are running the show. You know, for me, it's about a spiritual connection. I have to stay connected. I also, you know, stay connected with the people in this program through outreach calls. I call people that are struggling with food or people that are recovered or whatever, and I connect so that I can be useful. I ask God how I can be useful. Thank you.
So I think we're going to end on the third step prayer, and just because my inner child would love to hear it, we're going to sing it. And so I think we'll just stay where we're sitting instead of at. But anyway, it goes like this, and sing along if you want. It goes, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them.
Somebody asked a question with my name on it. I'd love to answer it. If anyone, I don't need to do it on the recorder. Because the meeting's over, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the meeting's over. But someone asked me, is there a set thing you do each day in the morning that shapes your day? I don't know who asked it. I'm kind of curious.
I'm sorry.
Someone broke my name.
Dial your number in my phone, and then you'll have my number.
Glenn wanted to come back.
And your number is
217 415-3310.
Okay. And I'm at Quincy. We only meet once a week. How many times y'all meet?
You know, we only had one meeting a week for a long time after having bunches of meetings for a while. And then now we have three meetings a week, and it's so wonderful.
What times are they?
We have one on Monday night at 5:30. Then we have...
Where's that at?
That's at Unity Church. And then we have a Wednesday noon meeting. And that is at, it's at noon, and it's at the Memorial Hospital Education Building.
You need, I have copies of the words.
And
I want one.
Okay.
And then
another meeting.
The Saturday
at Memorial Hospital. Thank you.
Education.
Okay.
All these meetings. There are none where I am.
Okay. Well, we're in Springfield, Illinois. And then,
lucky you, you're blessed.
Yes, but we have.
I go online because we only have one.
Yes.
In our,
two. And
do you go to the ones that 3 hour every 3 hours?
Mm-hmm. I try. There's usually not anyone.
Okay. And then there's Saturday meeting, and it's.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write my number down here too for you. Thank you, Cindy. Cindy.
This is my. We wrote the New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
Kira, I can't thank you enough for that swimming suit.
Do you think that works?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, and it's brand new.
Actually, what I really need is the number for your. Yeah.
This is the number, and that's from.
Okay. All right.
No, you won't.
And you have to do it
Friday.
Yeah. Friday at 11 p.m. our time. But there's meetings on that phone line from 6 o'clock until midnight every day.
Oh, okay.
And there's a 100-pounders meeting at 8 o'clock every night.
Oh, my God.
Careful. Yeah. And they have speakers every day.
Where are you buying tapes at? I ain't heard nothing.
There's no place to buy them. They'll be online and they'll be...
podcast?
I think they're going to be online.
So do we have online for St. Louis?
For St. Louis? Yeah.
So what's the website?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I just connect to the OA and then connect to whatever.
Okay.
It was on the table.